You know, as much as we have any spiritual connection at all, I've always thought it must run in all directions. People talk about serenity. They talk about the calm, the part of the brain that manifests in an almost worshipful addressing of the area around you, the world. The part of you that extends outward into harmony, equality, a kind of commuting of your mind into purity, the moment when you are least concerned with worldly desire and most invested in the improvement of the world, the second when you seem to melt away, when your consciousness seems to fade into nothingness, as if every bit of you were being dissolved in some pleasant liqueur. All of you being dissolved, but pleasantly. I've always thought there must be the opposite polarity. We spend every day in connection, in communion with our bodies, our desires, what is baser in us. And if any part of us is connected to every other one of us, if the theory of the collective unconscious, the idea of some distant connection were true, or if we believed it to be true, we might imagine that all our hidden lusts, our condensed and compressed darker urges, fed some vast vat of consciousness. Not a consciousness as we know it, nothing which thinks it has goals or aims, just something which expresses itself in a pure distillation, something you can target, you can focus upon, you can try to call up. Whatever the opposite of a prayer or a spiritual meditation might happen to be, you could find it in that place of the body, that lustful pool of everything we've ever pressed down, every urge unrequited, every fetish and desire and need and ache unfulfilled, lays somewhere in that dark vat. And if you access your consciousness, and if you really need it, if you crave it, if you get yourself to a situation of maximum wanting, of the urge, the edge, the essence, the ache, if you get as horny as you can possibly be, perhaps because a voice is in your ear, in your head, in your world, perhaps because some fantasy or vivid sexual recall is playing havoc with your senses, with your body, with your need. Whatever it is, you arrive at the precipice. And then, in your ache to know what's on the other side, you tip over. So it might be now. The edging, the movement of hands, the slipping between your legs, the idea in the back of your head that if you just let go and ride the wave, all you will do is surrender and slide. All you will do is become a vessel. What's the best way to make your head empty? Think of the moment. Think of it. The edge of climax, the 3-2-1 ache, throb, drip, need. But there's a moment before climax, the moment when you need it so desperately that your head only contains the wanting for this thing as yet unobtained, an organ. Orgasm is something where you want it, you want it, you need it, and then you've had it. There's that moment of release where all the wound-up tension and longing, the greed for sensation, has manifested itself in this paroxysmic moment of purity, this clearing of your head. But is it white light or a dark, purple, corrupted thing leaked over from that pool of consciousness? Where does that urge come from? If we believe that the spiritual, the ascended, the transcendent is white light and unworldly concern, the spreading positivity outside your body, the melting away, but pleasurably, mustn't there be a name for the other thing? For the desire to be within your body so wholly that you become yourself, that you distance yourself from everything else and become the sensations and urges and lusts and needs and fetishes and desires that you repress, that you compress, that you pack away into a back part of your mind until, like alcohol on a still, they become purer and purer, darker, more intoxicating, until eventually you are beholden to that desire. That's what it's like to be on the edge of orgasm, the moment when you edge toward it, touching yourself, stimulating yourself. The stimulation builds inside your head, and your mind just snaps over. Your mind just tells you yes. You have surrendered to urge and need. You are edged so thoroughly that you are past the point of no return. Whatever you do, your body's gonna come. And you know what happens if you suddenly stop stimulating? If you have masturbated yourself right to the edge and you stop everything? You ruin the orgasm. The sensation is there, but it is dull. It is disappointing. You don't want to do that. And so, when the urge is inside you, when you think of that dark, inky, consciousness that is down below, that place where distilled thoughts flow freely, that dark, tapping, very human, very worldly concern containing your avarice and ache, your desire, your repressed urges and fetishes. When you tap into that place, it's like edging and edging and edging toward climax. You can either pull yourself away, in which case you will ruin the experience. You will end up without something essential and fulfilling. Or in the alternative, you can dive in. You can keep stimulating. You can begin to touch parts of yourself that ordinarily go untouched. You can make the orgasm better and better, adding some extra small fetishistic fantasized experimentation. Those are your choices when you've edged yourself so thoroughly, when you have built the anticipation of something you do not yet have. You know that when you climax, you know that when you surrender to that darkness, that entity, that conscious, subconscious linkage, that place beyond the precipice, you can either pull away, in which case you will remain unsatisfied, you will ruin both your orgasm and your mindgasm, or you can dive in, stare right into the abyss until it thrusts mindlessly against you, until it rubs all over you, until you welcome it in and say, yes, give to me the heights of physical pleasure, give to me every whispering thought, every hidden voice, every need that exists just a little bit beyond the boundary of what I've experienced last, even if it overwhelms, even if it overtakes, even if it turns me into mindless twitching putty. Give me that. Let me feel that. Let me feel so caught up between my legs, in my mind, in my limbic system, in the dumping chemicals, yes, chemicals. Speaking of worldly physicality, the 3-2-1 pulse of orgasmic, orgiastic indulgence, that is a chemical response in your brain. Really, you contain enough drugs and mind-altering chemicals to train you into a brainwashed, mind-fucked stupor. And if something, some consciousness, some dark droplet from that vat of desire that exists for all of us as a shared root on the tree of our manifestations of worldly greed, avarice, need, ache, urge, and rutting, mindless coming, if we had one droplet of that in our system, wouldn't it begin to influence us to just use the chemicals that were already there? One drop is enough. If you fail to pull away, once the orgasm starts, once the mindgasm begins, your own chemicals will keep the response going. All you need is one drop on the tip of your finger, on the tip of your tongue. An inky darkness that invades and then improves your body. Think of it. Imagine what one droplet of that substance would look like. Perhaps there's an eyedropper. Perhaps it's a petri dish. Perhaps there's just the head of a pin. Or a spoon. With one tiny droplet of the dark, pure essence of distilled self. Self-realization, self-improvement, but also the act of looking inward. Until the sensation from your ragged nerve endings, your aching, almost orgasmic, overly edged body, becomes more than just the moment you are in. It becomes the moment you are. Every nerve ending expanding as if you were zooming in on some lightning diagram of your own system, being sparked and jolted by its chemical release, by all the chemicals your brain can muster. The droplet is that. Licking it up. Barely feeling your tongue as if your tingling tongue goes numb, as if the taste of desire solidified is not quite something you can handle. Your entire body stocks still, as though shocked, as though spasming, as though seizing, but instead, what you're doing is seeing inside your head one droplet of that dark, pure desire. We know when things are sanctified, we know when things are elevated, we know when we look upon things that they are special or beautiful. This is quite the opposite. This is something profane, something that just makes you want to rut until you can rut no more, make you be in your body, in the dirtiest, most fetished, most mindless part of thrusting, aching rigidness, the part of you that really gives into it. That's what is entering you now, sliding into your mind. You rub against it, rut against it, let yourself become heated, going into heat, an animalistic, mated need. Because that's what happens when that drop is there, but it's more than that. Your mind needs new things, too. Your body needs to go out and find pleasure, but your mind needs to learn new pleasures. It needs innovation, novelty. It is normal to seek truth in sacred places, in places where you feel equal to, spread out along the environment around you. But when you turn your attention inward, there is another truth which rises up. The truth of sublimation in dark desire. One droplet of that wellspring, and your mind is dumping its sensual, desirous chemicals all through your system, turning you on, making you ache, making you want to know what's on the other side. And even if you do feel a presence, tendrils slithering down that profane connection, down that instinctive knowledge you have that there's something just a little bit twisted, just a little bit different and off and more than before, you are nonetheless on the track. All you can do is listen to the whispered voice in your consciousness, whatever it might do to you, whatever it might do with you, whatever you might do for it. And you brought it here through edging, through aching, through being on the ragged, needy train into desire. Training yourself to desire, and that chemical stew, that milieu of your brain, that thing you are soaking in, is every arousing chemical and fetishistic need, the tenterhook, trembling edge of what you could be if you just gave in, if you didn't ruin this mindgasm, this brainwashing swarm of needy thoughts. If you let them riot through you as you do the shivering, edged-up climactic escapes you go through, the corruptive, needy potential of everything that comes next, and you feel it, and you ache for it, and you throb, lay there throbbing, sweated, dripping, and more.